The Eddie B. Sit edition, an audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen. Daf Chavav. Today's daf is being studied le'adun ishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'refuah shelema Eliyahu Hayim ben Shafia. Sophia. El narefana lo. El narefana lo. El narefana lo. Rufat ha-nefesh, rufat ha-guf. Rufatu k'rubad abo v'chen yirasom v'lomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chaf Heh Amud Bet. And we are actually on the bottom line. We were discussing cases in our Mishnah where Bet Din saw the moon. And let's say three of the people that saw the moon all consisted of Bet Din. And now the Mishnah said two of them have to testify in front of the third. And actually the third one has to take two judges off the bench so they could have three judges to claim Mekudash. So we see over here a concept that even though all the witnesses that saw the moon, even though they all qualified to be Eidim, they still have a ability to be a judge. So that would be the principle of Ed Naase Dayan. Because the third one that's being used as a judge, he actually was an Ed. He also saw the moon. So you see a principle over here that somebody that potentially could have qualified to be a witness, can be used as a judge. So the Gemara says, Lememra, to teach me, to tell me, the Eid Naase Dayan. To teach me that, the Eid, a potential witness, can also serve as a judge. Rashi says, Mi shera'ui liyot Eid badavar, Naase Dayan, ve'elu chulan re'uyim liyot Eidim. Share kulam ra'u. All of them were potential witnesses because after all, they all saw the new moon. And therefore, we see that what? That a potential witness can serve as the judge. Lema matnitin delo k'Rabbi Akiva. Let us say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Netanya, we have a braita. Sanhedrin shira'u echad she'arag et ha-nefesh. Let's say the members of the Sanhedrin, let's say the 23 rabbis, they saw somebody that committed murder. Miksatan na'asu edin, or miksatan na'asu dayanim. Devrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, you take two of them and turn them into witnesses, and they'll testify in front of the other 21. Now actually, you need 23 judges for dinei nefashot, so you'll have to take two judges off the bench, then add it to the Beit Din. But the point is, Rabbi Tarfon says that the witnesses that saw the murder can testify, and the rest can remain judges. So obviously, Rabbi Tarfon holds Ed Naaseh Dayan. Now, that she just tells us, Miksatam Naasim Edim, V'yaidu b'fnei havrehem, Degabe dinei nefashot edut ba'ina dechtiv alpi shenayim edim yumat tamet. Which means, that she's telling us chedush over here, that even though they all saw the murder, it doesn't matter. You need a testimony in front of them. Even though we learned on yesterday's daf, that we have a sevara, that you cannot make shmi'ah better than ri'iyah. Here, they actually saw the murder. What do you have to have witnesses come along and testify in front of them? They saw it. It should be an automatic. It shouldn't have been any testimony. So on yesterday's daf, we answered this question about the Kiddush HaChodesh. The case is talking about where they saw the Kiddush HaChodesh at night. And therefore, since they saw it at night, so they're not really ra'u yet to serve as witnesses at night, because we don't accept witnesses at night. Therefore, they saw it at night. The subsequent morning, now you have to have a testimony. In this case, over here, according to Rashi, we cannot say that the witnesses that the Beit Din saw the murder at night. Because he holds, Rashi, that when it comes to Dinei Nefashot, you need testimony. You need Alpi Shenayim Edim, you Matamel Bevegezrat Katuv, you need Edim. And therefore, even if, let's say, they saw the murder in the day, we don't say it's an automatic, or 23 rabbis saw the murder, kill them. No, you have to have two of them come and say, we saw the murder, and the other remaining rabbis have to accept the testimony. It's a Gezrat Katuv by Dinei Nefashot. In any event, the Shitav Rebbe Tarfon is indeed Ed Naaseh Dayan. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kulan Naasin Edim. Finished. Once they all saw it, so they potentially now are witnesses, therefore they remain witnesses. Ve'en Ed Naaseh Dayan. And therefore, with these 23, let's say, rabbis of the Sanhedrin, they become witnesses, they're going to have to get 23 other rabbis to form a Betin, and they will testify in front of them. But the witnesses themselves cannot serve on the Betin. So it must be our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Comes the Gemara and says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva. Now, I can even say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, and really in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, Ed Naaseh Dayan. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hatam ela bidirin nefashot. The only time Rabbi Akiva was mahmir, that the witnesses cannot serve as judges, that's why capital punishment cases, why did Rahman Amar, v'shafetu ha'eda v'hisilu ha'eda. We have a special law when it comes to capital punishment cases that the judges have to find every way out to save the perpetrator. Torah says, v'hisilu ha'eda. They have to find every angle and not be very hasty to kill somebody. Any way out they can exonerate the murderer, which means if they, for whatever reason, they have an obligation to v'hisilu ha'eda. V'kevan de'hazinu de'katal nafshav. And since they themselves saw the murder with their own eyes, lo matzu hazu lezichuta. How are they going to find a zichut for this guy? Which means, basically, to be a betin, you have to have the ability of etzidu aida to save the guy. The Torah doesn't want any hasty decisions being made. So in a dinei nefashot case, since you have an extra rule called etzidu aida, since all these judges actually saw the crime itself, so therefore, in Ed Naaseh Dayan. Because in this case over here, how are you going to let them be Dayanim? There's no way they can exonerate. There's no way they can even be Mikayim V'etzidu Ha'edah. They saw with their own eyes. Mm-hmm. And therefore, a judge cannot be a judge if he's not able to fulfill V'etzidu Ha'edah. So in this case over here, where they saw the murder with their own eyes, they're pasul from being judges. Which is, all of them turn into witnesses, they're in Ed Naaseh Dayan. However, V'alhacha afilu B'Akiva Modeh. But by the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, even the Bi'akiva will agree that what? That part of them become witnesses, and the rest, even though they're potential witnesses, they can serve as Dayanim. Because there's no Dina V'etzidu Ha'eda by Kiddush HaChodesh. That as she over here in the third line says, Aval Hame'idim lo yishvu v'yadunu imahim. Which means everybody agrees that the witnesses themselves that actually testified, they cannot turn into a judge. Which means the discussion over here is a potential witness. Can he serve as a dayan? Because all these people that saw, let's say the Kiddush HaChodesh, they are all potential witnesses. So the Hadush is that while according to the Mitalfon, Ed, a potential witness, can serve as a dayan. The Akiva says no. In Ed Nasan, anybody that potentially can be a witness cannot serve as a dayan. And our conclusion of the Gemara is that's only by dinei nefashot and not by kiddush haolos. But as she comes, as everybody agrees that once a witness becomes an actual witness, he then cannot go now sit on the bench and be the dayan. So that she says, "Da'ui le'aid itle Rabbi Tarfon Naaseh Dayan." Only da'ui, aval ed atzmo, the witness himself, let le Naaseh Dayan. The gabei edut haChodesh gufa namir lo achshirin b'manitin liyot ha'edim naasib dayanim. Which is even in our Mishnah by Kiddush HaChodesh, we never allowed the witness himself who testified to be the actual judge. The imken lamali yoshivu mechavrehim ya'idu b'fnei yachid ba'akach yishvu im emov yekadeshu. Which is, if you would let the actual witness become the dayan, be very simple. Let, you had three witnesses, right? Three edim. So let, we said what? Let two testify in front of one. And we said what? When you say mikudash, you have to get two guys off the bench. If you let the Eid himself become the Dayan, let him testify in front, let them testify in front of the one, and then let them go sit on the bench themselves and say, mikudash, mikudash. So you see, we don't allow that. That shows you the actual Eid itself cannot be the Dayan. Our whole mahlokin over between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is someone that's potentially able to give Eidut, can he be a Dayan? Rabbi Tarfon says yes, Rabbi Akiva says no, by the Nefashot. Why by the Nefashot? No, because you have the rule of Etzilu Ta'ida, and since these witnesses, they're not going to be able to serve as Dayanim in the context of Etzilut to save the perpetrator, because they saw with their own eyes. So therefore, those type of witnesses cannot serve as Dayanim. But in the regular case of Kiddush HaKodesh, indeed, a potential Ed Naaseh Dayan. Comes the next Mishnah. We go back to the law of Rosh Hashanah regarding the Shofar. Kol HaShofarot Kesherin. All shofarot are kosher to use on Rosh Hashanah, chutz mishel para, except the horn that comes from a cow, mepenei shehu kedin, because it's not called a shofar, it's called a kedin. And the Torah tells us on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow a shofar. There's a difference between a shofar and a kedin. A shofar comes from the word shefoferet, which is a hollow tube, which means naturally the way a shofar grows is it's hollow. However, a kedin grows in a solid piece, and you have to, bore it out in order to make a hold. So that would be called a kedin. That's the way the Rishonim learned. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling you, kol ha-shofarot kesherin, right? Anything that's called a shofar would be kesher, which means whether it's from an ayil, as she says, whether it's from a ya'il. An ayil would be a ram's horn, ya'il would be like a mountain goat, doesn't matter. However, a shofar of a para, it's not a shofar. It's a keren, nashi, shu keren. Eno karu shofar. Now, v'gabe yom kippurim shofar ketiv. V'avarta shofar teru'ah. Now, by the yovel of Yom Kippur, which means, on Yom Kippur, they never blow shofar, except in the Jubilee year, the 50th year, they would blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, and that would symbol to free the slaves, and all ancestral properties would return, or actually, properties would return to their original owners. That's the shofar of Yom Kippur Yovel. And there it clearly says, Ve'avarta shofar teru'ah. And the Gemara on the Daflam Medalit is going to make a gezerah shava from Rosh Hashanah to Yovel. Because by Rosh Hashanah it doesn't say shofar. So we're going to make a gezerah shava that just like by shofar of Yovel, it says the word shofar. So to by Rosh Hashanah it's got to be a shofar, but not a kedin. So therefore the para, even though it's a horn, it's not called a shofar, therefore it is invalid for use. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yosef, V'halo kol ha-shofarot nikle'u kerin. So what are you talking about? All shofarot are also called kerin, which means every shofar is called a kerin. How do we know? Dichtiv b'mshoch b'kerin hayovel. Jeez, we have a pasuk over here. The pasuk actually is in Yoshua. That's when they were fighting against Yericho, the city of Yericho, and they had to blow the shofar during the time of battle. So the pasuk says, and it'll be bimshoch bekeren ayovel, when the horn of the yovel. What is yovel? Yovel is not the Jubilee year. Don't confuse it. The yovel over here, as she says, means dichra. Dichra is an ayil. So we see that what? An ayil is a ram. So the pasuk is saying, when the ram's horn will be elongated, will be blown in a long way. Mm-hmm. So you see what? That even a ram's horn is called a keren. So therefore, the Bihyo says, what are you talking about? You worried about you? Tell me a shofar, and but not a keren? Every shofar is called a keren. Because actually, at the end of the pasuk does say, Keshomachem et kol ha-shofar. So he comes along and says, what are you talking about? This item over here, called the ram's horn that you're telling me is kasher, because it's a shofar, but not keren. What do you mean? It's called the keren also. The pasuk clearly says keren. So therefore, the Biyosef argues against Tanakama. Comes the Gemara now and explains. Now again, the ram's horn obviously is the choice, most choicest shofar to use, and therefore he brings a proof from a shofar that's called a keren from the ayil, right? The ayil, because yovel is an ayil. Yovel, that's a key thing to remember. The word yovel over means a ram. Comes the Gemara and says, Shapir kamar Rabbi Yosef. You know something? Rabbi Yosef said good claim to the Hakamim. Hakim are coming along and telling us what? That Parah's no good. It's called the Keren. You got to use the shofar. The Bi Yosef, what a beautiful pasuk. He brings a clear proof that what? That even a ram's horn, which is the ultimate shofar, is called a Keren. Nobody argues you can't use a ram's horn. So comes the Gemara and says, Shapir Ka'amar. I mean, the Bi Yosef has a good claim. The Rabbanan, Kol HaShofarot Ikru Shofar Ve'ikru Keren. All shofarot, they're called shofar and they're called keren. So long as it's called shofar, I don't care if it's called keren also. I mean, even if you look in this pasuk, as I mentioned to you by Yiriho, when the pasuk says b'mshok b'keren hayovel, the continuation of pasuk says b'shomachem or kishomachem et kol shofar. So therefore, if it has a dual name, I'm not worried. Hakamim say it can be called the keren, so long as it's also called a shofar. However, depara. But the cow's horns, keren ikri, shofar lo ikri. It's only called a keren, but therefore it's no good. And how do we know that the para is only called a keren? Dichtiv bechor shoro hadar lo vekarnereim kanav. This was the blessing that was given to Yosef. And the blessing is said, Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo. Yosef is compared to an ox. An ox is a para. It's the same family. And what does it talk about the ox? Vekarne Re'em Karnav. Its horns are called Keren. Karne Re'em. And therefore, what do you see? That the shor, which is shor and para, the same item, it's called a keren. It's not called a shofar. So therefore, Hakamim come along and say, para is different, because para is only called a keren, because kaneh, now the reason why the Mishnah used the word para instead of shor, is because shor is obvious. I got a pasuk that says shor. The hadush is even a para is also going to be subject to the invalidation that you're not going to be able to use it for a shofar, because it is called a Keren. Comes the Gemara and says, the Rabbi Yosef Amar Dechan. Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, De para name ikre shofar. He comes and says, no, bring it pasuk. Para is also called the shofar. Where do you see that? We have a pasuk in Tehillim. V'titav laHashem, and your prayers will be accepted by Hashem better mishor par. Better than a shor par. Now, what is a shor par? We know what a shor is. Shor is an ox. Par is a bull, a para. What is a shor par? Your tefillot will be accepted better even than a shor par. So comes the Gemara and says, Im shor, lama par. V'im par, lama shor. Which means, how do you put these two animals and put them together? So comes the Gemara and says, Elamai shor par. What does shor par mean? Mishofar. I mean, shor par is like an abbreviation of the word shofar. Which is, what is David HaMelech saying? That the tefillot that the person is going to make is going to be even greater than the shofar sound. Lashi, v'titav l'shem tefillati mishofar. My prayer is going to be more effective than a shofar. Now, b'shor kamishtai kara. Now, but what are we talking about? But a shor. And still we're calling it a what? Shofar. Which is the dirasha is shofar. But what animal are we talking about in that pasuk? A shor. So you see what? That you can call the horns of a shor a shofar. That's why I call it shor par. We're talking about a shor. So David HaMelech said, my tefillot are going to be more effective even than a shofar. A shofar of what? Of a shor. So what is the B.O.C. proof from there? That even a shor is also called shofar, and therefore no problem. You can use it also on Rosh Hashanah. That the Gemara says, v'rabbanan. So what do the rabbis do with this pasuk shor par? Kedrab matna, the amar of matna, my shor par, shu gadol kepar. A shor is considered a one-day-old animal. When the ox is 1 day old, it's called a shor. After it becomes 3 days old, 3 years old, I'm sorry, we call it a para. So what a para really is an old shor. So now the Gemara's question, Ula says, what does it mean, shor par? So it says, a shore that's as big as a par. How do you have a shore that's as big as a par? A shore is one day old, and a par is three years old. So when Borei Olam created the world, the first shore was created fully developed. It was a one day old animal, but it was fully developed, and it looked like the size of a para. Mm-hmm. And therefore David HaMelech says that my tefillot will be more accepted, even more than if I would bring a korban of a short par. Meaning, even if I would have brought that short of Ma'aseh Bereshit, that was a one day old short but was the size of a par, still what? My tefillot are going to be more accepted. Obviously, this opinion holds that when God created the world, like we learned on previous Dapim and the previous Perek, the world was created in full form. It was fully developed. And therefore, it's called a shor par because it was one day old, so that's called a shor. But it was big as a three-year-old, therefore it's called a par. So there's nothing to do with shofar. David HaMelech is saying, if I would pray to Borei Olam, my prayers will be more accepted, even if I would bring that short pot as a korban. So nothing to do with a shofar. So therefore he says, where do you see that a pot is called a shofar? Not for this pasuk. Mm-hmm. Look at Rashi. Par, shor shu par, biyom shenikra shor, haya gadol kepar. Veze shor shel ma'aseh bereshit. Shebiyom shenivra, Nivra bekomato. Because so the day that was created fully developed. Veshor ben yomo karushor shneimar shor ochesev o'ez upar enu nekra ad ben shalosh. So she just gives you the pesukim. A shor is called a shor on the day it's born. Shor o'ez ki yivaled. It's called a shor already when it's born. However, a par is not called until it is 3 years old. So that's basically the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yoseh. Tanakama says you can only use a shofar. You can't use a parah. Why can't you use a para? Because para is called a kidin. Oh, so comes Rabbi Yosef says, nah, what are you talking about? I'll show you even the ram's horn is called a kidin. Hakarim come along and say, oh, it's called a kidin, but it's also called a shofar. And therefore you have no proof. However, the question is, how do you know a para is called a shofar? Well, para is also called a shofar because it says shorpar. And Rabbi Yosef learned the pasuk, shorpar is shofar. Okay, he said, no, that's not the word shofar. Shorpar is a shor, the size of a par. What's that referring to? The shor of Ma'aseh Bereshit. Ulamar, that comes along as a different track. Hainu ta'amad rabbanan. You know why the rabbis say you can't use a para? Not because of the canon reason. Leave the canon reason. The reason why they say you can't use a para, the horn of a para, kederav chazda. How come the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he goes into the Holy of Holies to do the Avodah, how come he doesn't wear his Begdei Zahav? How come he doesn't wear his garments that have the gold vestments? How come he doesn't wear them? Defi she'en katigo na'asa sanigor. We have a rule. The prosecutor cannot become the defender. Which means, the Kohen Gadol now is going to be Miratzeh to appease God for Kaparat Avonot for Klal Yisrael. We don't want him to going in with gold. Gold reminds the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the sins of Klal Yisrael, specifically Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. So therefore you can't use the prosecutor, which is the gold, to end up becoming the defender. And therefore you can't use the horn of a para, because the para is the egel. And then what? We're going to use the horn of a para as kapara. Meanwhile, that's the prosecutor. You can't turn the katigor into a sanigor. New reason. Kabara says, velo. I mean, is that so? Veha ikadam par. We know in the Kodesh Kodashim, like we know in the Masechet Yomah, they would sprinkle the blood of the par. One of the animals they slaughtered on Kippur was a par, and the blood would be sprinkled between the badim in the Kodesh Kodashim. What happened to Inkatigor Nasa Sanigor? Ho'il ve'ishtane. Now, it changed. It's not a par anymore, it's blood of a par. Which means there's a difference between a par itself that's in its normal state, even the shofar, it's in its normal state. Which means the shofar itself, you didn't do anything to it, you just pulled it off the animal, but it's still as it is. Here you slaughtered the par, now you're taking the blood, that's already considered a shinui, and therefore there's no problem of katigor na'asa sanigor. You don't see a par, all you see is blood. You see a par over here? You don't see it, but you just see blood. It's not recognizable. So the Gemara says, Ve'aika aron vekaporet vechruv. What are you talking? The furniture of the Beit HaMikdash itself was made out of gold. Meaning, the Aron, the Kaporet, the Kirubim, those are made out of gold. And that's part of the Kapara process. Right? So therefore, oh, what happened to Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut? You have these gold furnishings. The Gemara says, Chote Bal Yakriv Kamdina. We're talking about the sinner bringing a korban, which means in the process of bringing the korban, meaning wearing the garments, that already is considered, he's the one that's bringing the korban, or the chote, the sinner, that's already we're saying, but not the furnishings themselves that are in the Beit HaMikdash. They're not being used necessarily, they're passive. They're in the Beit HaMikdash, but they're not considered the person himself. What do you mean? What about the spoon and the shovel that they use for the coals and the ketoret? That the Kohen himself brings it in. Remember we said he brings it to the Kodesh Kodashim, the Machtan, the Kaf, right? That she has the coals and he's carrying it. It was the sinner and it's made out of gold. Oh, what happened to Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut? Chote Bal Yitna'e Ka'amrinan. No. So the Kabbalah says, we're talking about only items that the sinner is adorning himself with, which means like the garments, which means when do we use the principle? So we're narrowing down this principle of Ketikon HaSad Tzedekut. No, in Ketikon HaSad Tzedekut. It's Davka, the sinner that uses gold to adorn himself. That would knock out furnishings, that knocks out Kaf and Machta, because even though the Kaf and the Machta are functional, but they're not adorning the Kohen Gadol. It's not his garments, so therefore no problem. Okay, what are you talking? But the Kohen Gadol does wear gold on the day of Kippur. Maybe not in the Kodesh Kodashim, but he wears it outside the Kodesh Kodashim. And that's an adornment. And he's asking for Kapara. Oh, what happened to Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut? Kapara says, Bifnim Ka'amrinan. We're only talking when you're inside. When you're in the Kodesh Kodashim and you're trying to get the real Kapara close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't go in and ask for Kapara in the Kodesh Kodashim with gold. So that's what we're talking about. So there's no problem for him to wear it outside. So the Gemara says, Shofar Nameh Mibahutsu. So what do you think we blow the Shofar in Rosh Hashanah? We don't blow the Shofar in the Kodesh Kodashim. We blow the Shofar outside. So once you tell me that outside there's no problem of Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut, what's the matter with the Shofar? But that's final answer. Kevan del zicharonu kebifnim dame. Which means since it's the shofar that reminds God of the zichriyot of Klal Yisrael, and it's talk. We learned earlier that we have to say in front of God Rosh Hashanah malchuyot and zichronot. And how does the malchuyot and zichronot tefilot rise up to Kadosh Baruch Hu? It rises up through the shofar. So therefore, since it's the shofar that brings our tefilot up close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's considered kinefnim. Which means even though we're blowing the shofar outside, it has the status of inside. And because it's affecting the tefilot to be answered. So therefore, the problem is Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut. So now we have two reasons basically why the Hakamim say a para horn is not good. Either because it's called a keren, or because it is the problem of it's a kategor, it's a prosecutor, and you can't use a prosecutor as a defense. And even though this law only applies to things that are inside, and things that are lehitna'ot, things that are adorning the Kohen, doesn't matter. Even though it's not an adornment, it's not inside, since this is the item that's affecting the tefillot to be accepted in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kinefnim damet, it's considered as if it is inside. As she's lashon is, shofar na me'afagav delet pi'u mishum chote bal yikrav velet pi'u mishum chote bal yitna'e kivad zecharon ka'ate kibigde Kohen Gadol shnefnim damet. It's considered like the comments of the Kohen Gadol that are inside. That's what she tells us. Kanz Gebran says, ve'at ta'am ha'mepnei shu keren ka'amar. But when you're talking, how could you tell me that the reason of the rabbis is because of this Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut? You're going against the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't give that reason. The Mishnah says that the para is not good because it's called the keren. Now you come along and say, no, I got a new reason. How could you create a new reason? The Mishnah doesn't give that reason. The Kabbalah says, Chada ve'od ka'amar. Really, the Mishnah is only giving one of two reasons. Chada de'Enkat Tikkun HaSad Tzedekut. Which means, one reason, which is the primary reason, is Kategor and Kategor Nasa Sanigor. Happened to me that Mishnah did not list that reason. Ve'od mepene shehu keren. And secondly, you should know, it's because it is a Kerem, which is really, there are two reasons that the Shita Hakamim really hold. Comes the Gemara and says to that, V'Rabbi Yoseh Amar Lecha, and Rabbi Yoseh will answer, Teka Amart and Kategor Nasa Sanigor Hani Mile Mebifnim V'Ai Shofar Mebachutz. He doesn't go with this shofar, it's kibifnim dame. He says, listen, the kategor na'asas senegor problem is only stuff that's inside the Kodesh Kodashim. Shofar is outside. He doesn't go with this whole pilpul that that's just the shofar is for, you know, tefillot being accepted. It's like the clothes, it's inside. No, he says, bottom line, it's outside. I got no problem with that. Did the ka'amar of this keren? Oh, and your second claim, which the Mishnah discusses, that you're calling it a keren, a horn? Call a shofarot namo kru keren. What are you talking about? All those, even the ram's horn is called a keren. So that's the Rabbi Yoseh answered back on the two claims of the Hakamim, why you cannot use a shofar of a para. Number one, because the end kategor na'asasigor does not apply, because this is talking about where it is outside. And secondly, every shofar is called a keren. And you're not going to argue with me, you agree you can use a ram's horn. And I showed you the pasuk in Yeshua still calls it a keren. So therefore, the Rabbi Yoseh rejects the opinion of Hakamim. Abaye Amar. Abaye gives a different reason. Why the Hakamim say you can't use a cow's horn? Amar Abaye Amar. Hainu tamad rabbanan. Shofar amar achmana. Velo shenayim v'shlosha shofarot. Torah says, how many shofarot do you blow on Rosh Hashanah? One. Right? Ta'aviru shofar. So therefore, it's one shofar, but you're not allowed to blow two or three shofarot. So what does that mean? V'ha de para kevan de ka'e gilde gilde mitchazek keshnayim u'shlosha shofarot. Which means the way a shofar of a para grows, it grows in like shells, and then the shell is added, the next year grows a little more, and then another shell is added in growth, and therefore it looks like it's made up of many shofarot. Means it grows 1 year, right? Then the shell of the shofar extends and grows again. But you're able to see
the tears,
exactly. The separation between the different levels of the shofar of the para. So therefore, I can't even say what I mean. Torah says one shofar. This item over here is three shofarot, whatever, four shofarot. It looks like more than one. Gilde gilde, as she says. Bechol shana v'shana nikeret tosfato. The additional growth is recognizable. The ukimin gelid mostly is like an extra shell that's added. Al gelid rishon, the original shell. Betachlito shel rishon tehilat hasheni, which means where the first one ends, like it overlaps in it, the second one grows over it. So if it looks like you're blowing an apparatus that has more than one shofar, that's why the rabbis say it's no good. What are you talking about? Where did you get that reason? What do you mean? Amishta didn't say that. Amishta says the reason why the rabbis disqualify Shparah is because it's a Kedin. Hada ve'od kamar. Again, the Mishnah is giving you one of two reasons. Hada the shofar echad amarachma. That's the main reason. That really, because the shofar is, you have to have one shofar, not two shofarot. Ve'lo shenayim u'shlosha shofarot. Ve'od lepnei shu keren. Now, how does Rabbi Yoseh answer this? Ve'Rabbi Yoseh amar lecha de kamar shofar echad amarachmana ve'lo shenayim u'shlosha shofarot. Kevan de mechabre ahadade hadu. This is what do I care if it looks like two or three shofarot? Bottom line, it's all attached. Since it's all attached, it's considered one. U'de kamar de shu keren. And your second claim that you said it's called a keren, called a shofarot name ikru keren. So therefore, it comes out we have three reasons why the rabbis would say the horn of a para is not accepted. Either because it's called a keren, either because en kategor na'asa sanigor, or the third reason is because it looks like two or three shofarot. And the Yoseh will answer all those three claims. Number one, that you tell me en kategor na'asa sanigor, that's only bibifnim. This is mebachutz. And that you tell me that it looks like two or three shofarot. No, this is considered one piece. This was considered one. And you claim that it's called a keren. All shofarot are called keren, like we see in the pasuk by Yoshua. Now the Gemara goes into some different terminologies. How do we know they mean what they mean? How do you know the word yovel, as in context of that pasuk, means a ram? How do you know the word yobla is a ram? It's not the vocabulary. How do you know the word interpretation? The Tanya, we have a Braita. Amar Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti le'aravya, when I went to Arabia, hayu korin de dechra yubla. Finish. So you heard in Arabia, which is, that's the way they used to call it. Now you're going to say, what does that got to do with Arabia? We're talking Lashon HaKodesh. Who cares how the Arabians would call a ram? So the Shlach Kadosh has a very interesting principle over. He says that there are a lot of words that were forgotten in Lashon HaKodesh, and they were taken into captivity, those words, by other nations. There's a lot of words that are really emanate from Lashon HaKodesh, but they're not being used by us anymore. So you can only find them being used in other languages, other places, by the Goyim. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know, we knew we had a word in our Torah called Yovel. What is Yovel? So when I went to Arabia, so I heard when they were referring to a ram, they said Yubla. I said, oh, that's our word. That's our word they got over there. We got taken to by the Goyim. And therefore, now I know how to interpret it with the Pasuk. When it says Yovla, it means a ram. V'amar Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti legalia, when he went to a place called Galia, hayu korin lenida galmuda. They would refer to a lady who is a nida. They would refer to her as a galmuda. So the Gemara says, my galmuda, what does galmuda mean? Gimula da mibala, which means this lady over here is separated from her husband. Gimula da. Galmuda. Gimula da mibala. Comes the Gemara to the Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti l'afriki. He says, Rabbi Akiva says, when I went to Africa, hayu korim lema'a kesita, they called the denomination of a ma'a, which is a coin, they called ma'a kesita. They referred to it as a kesita. It's another denomination. Now, the ma'a nafkamina, what's a nafkamina? You call it ma'a kesita. Now, a ma'a, incidentally, is a sixth of a denomination of a coin. It's a sixth of a dinar. So a ma'a is a small coin. So the Gemara says, you should know, when I went to Africa, they call a ma'a, they call it kesita. So it's a man of coming out. What's the big deal that you have to know this terminology? Gemara says, lefirushe, to explain the pasuk. Me'a kesita deoraita, me'a danke. Which is when the Torah says, me'a kesita. That's talking about that Yaakov bought a piece of land from Shechem. Says he paid me'ad kesita. So you have to know that kesita is a small coin. It's really me'ad danke. It's 1/106 of a dinar. And therefore you had to interpret the price. Which when it says kesita, it's really not a big coin. Kesita is a ma'an. You know how much he paid. It's really a sixth of the coin. Kesita is a ma'an. That's danke. Danke is also a sixth. Okay. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said, Kishalat in the Karkayam, and I went to one of the islands. Hayu korin the Mechira Chira. A Mechira, a purchase, right, to buy something. They didn't say Mechira, they would call it Chira. The mind of Kamina, the Perushe. Again, to explain the Pasuk, Asher Chariti Li. When Yosef wanted to go bury his father Yaakov, so Yosef goes to Paro and sends a message to Paro and says, listen, my father wants me to bury him in the plot. He said to me, bury me in the plot Asher Chariti Li. So Chariti, now we understand, means that he purchased, that he bought. Because Chariti, like we saw in the islands, that's referring to a purchase. Asher Chariti Li, that I bought for myself. Amar Rabbi Shlomo ben Lakish, kishalakti litchum kan nashraya. It's the name of a place. Hayu korin lechala ninpi. They called a bride ninpi, v'letanegol sechvi. And the rooster they called a sechvi. Lechala ninpi, the reason why they called the bride ninpi, me'ekiraf, where they get this from? Yefenof mesos kol ha'aretz. The pasuk refers to the beauty of Yerushalayim, and it is telling the beauty of a kala. So therefore, it refers to them as yefenof. So that's referring to a kala. Yerushalayim is as beautiful as a nof, as a kala. When the tanegol sechvi, and the tanegol they call sechvi. Now sechvi literally means eyes, which means able, the ability to see. Why would they call that? So the Gemara says, look at Lashi for a second. Sechvi lashon de'iyah. K כמו וישקף ומתרגמינן ואיסטחה. So therefore, what is the ability of a rooster? He's able to discern between the crack of dawn. So he has very good eyes that he's able to tell the difference between night and day, even though it's really not discernible by a regular human being's eyes. So therefore they refer to the sechvi, the tenegol, rooster, they call him a sechvi. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'hibayetema Rav Yehoshua ben Nevi me'ekera. Now where do you see that the sechvi, the rooster is called a sechvi? It says, mi shat batuhot chokma. Who puts wisdom in the smooth ones? But the hot is the smooth ones. That's actually referring to the kilayot. That's referring to the kidneys of a person. That's where the chokhmah, the Torah, the Tehillim says that it comes from the intestines. What's kilayot? What does it say there?
Kidneys.
Okay, good. So that's what they say. The kidneys, that's where the chokhmah rests. I mean, the counsel and advice comes in the kidneys. Omina tan la sechvi bina. So the pasuk concludes and says, and who gave the sechvi wisdom? Mishat batuchot chokmah ilu kilayot. Who put the wisdom in the smooth ones? That's referring to the smooth kidneys. That's the kilayot. Omina tan la sechvi bina. Zu tanego. That's referring to the rooster. Meaning he has the sekvi, the vision, and is able to discern between night and day. That's what they call the rooster, sekvi. Levi ikla lahu atra. Levi found himself in a certain place. Ata gabra lekameh. So a guy came to him. Amale. So he tells him, kaba'an pilanya. So-and-so kaba'an. So-and-so did this to me. Kaba'an. Lo avayada ma'ika amale. He didn't know what the word kaba'an means. Ata sha'il b'midresha. So he went to the yeshiva to ask. Amru de gazlan. He was saying so-and-so stole from me. That's what kaba'an pilanya. He means so-and-so stole from me. So he was going to the rabbi and said, hey, this guy stole from me. So the rabbi had no idea what it was. He went to the yeshiva. So by the way, it means that they stole. That he got stolen from. Right? Gazlan. Amar lach dichtiv, like the pasuk says, Hayikba Adam Elohim. Can a person steal from God? Amar le Rabba mebarnish le Rab Asher. So Rabba mebarnish tells Rab Asher, Iavay atam. If I was there in your predicament, I didn't know what he was telling you. I would have had a way to find out what he meant. Hava amina le. I would have told him, Hechi kabacha. How was he kabacha? Bemai kabacha. With what was he? And why did he do it? Which means, based on these questions, whatever he answers from the context, I'll be able to figure out what it means. Just ask him some questions, let him talk. And Mimela, I would imagine, I'll know exactly from the context of the conversation what it means. Gemara says, V'iyu savar milta de isura ka'amarle. Which means he thought that kaba'an is isut. He thought it means actually that chas v'shalom, somebody committed the act of relations with him. And therefore when he came along and said, kaba'an planya, he's not going to start asking him questions over here because he thinks the guy made an isut. So he didn't want to get involved with this questions now. So therefore he didn't. Gemara says, lo avu yad'ei rabbanan. The rabbis did not know the interpretation of the following words. Mai sirugin. Gemara Megillah says that you should not read the Megillat Esther sirugin. So they had no idea. What does the word sirugin mean? Shama'e or shama'ua le'amta deber rabbi. They heard the maidservant, the famous maidservant of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Hazatanu Rabbanan, she saw the rabbis, the Avu Aile Paske Paske. They were entering Rabbi Yehuda's Shi'ur, you know, small groups at the top. They didn't all enter the Shi'ur together. They all were entering Paske Paske, a little at a time. Amra Lehu, Ad Matai Atem Nichnasim Surugin Surugin. What are you doing? Are you entering over Surugin Surugin? So that's like a little at a time, which means, now they understood what the Gemara means in Megillah, that you read a little of the Megillah and you stop. And you read a little more and you stop. You shouldn't read it Surugin. You're supposed to read it all in one shot. You're not supposed to read it Surugin, meaning stopping a little spurts at a time. Comes the Gemara and says, Lo avu yadai rabbanan mai halug logot. They didn't know what this halug logot is. The Gemara says that one person who's trying to be tahor should not eat certain vegetables, because certain vegetables can bring zavut, can cause a person to have tumah. So the Gemara says you should not eat these halug logot. We learned in Yom Ha'af, for example, the Kohen Gadol, they told him you should not eat certain vegetables like the halug logot before he was served on kippur, because they don't want him to have a tumah, a discharge. So they didn't know what this halug logot is. Yom Ha'ad Shamu'a le'amta de Rabbi. So they heard the maidservant of Rabbi. The hazit lahu gabra de kam ibadid farfahina. He was taking the farfahina vegetable and he was spreading it. He was, scattering it around. Amra le ad matai atam fazir halug logka. Until when are you going to spread your halug logot? So they knew now that halug logot is actually what's called farfahina, which is a vegetable that was well known to them. Lo avu yadai rabbanan mai salsela utro memeka. There was a pasuk. The pasuk is actually in Mishle. Salseleha utro memeka. So they didn't know what the word salsela means. They knew this pasuk was referring to Torah. But what does salsela mean? Salseleha. Yomachad shemua le'amta debe rabbi. They heard the maidservant of rabbi. Da'abat amra lahu gabra. She saw a certain fellow. He was twirling his hair. How long are you going to twirl your hair? So now they understand what the pasuk means. Salselea, you have to twirl in the Torah, which means you have to turn it over. You have to learn it and learn it over again and twirl it and turn it upside down. Which means go deep into the Torah. Salselea, utromemeka, and then the Torah will elevate you. Lo avu yad'uda banan mai. They didn't know what the pasuk means in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says v'tatatiha bimat ata hashmid. The pasuk is referring to that what? That God is going to. We know what it means, sweep, but we'll see. They don't know what those words meant. Right, with the sweep of destruction. But now we'll see what it means. They didn't know what it meant. יום אחד שמעו על האמתה דברבי דאבה אמרה לחברתה. She told her friend, שקולי תעתתה ותעתי בתה. Take the broom and sweep the house. So therefore they knew that that was the sweeping, that God's going to sweep out the right, the sweep of destruction. לא אהבו ידעי רבנן מה ישלך על השם יהבך. They didn't know what it means in the pasuk when it says, "Put on God, Yehavecha." Yehavecha. They didn't know what the word Yehavecha means. Put on God your Yehavecha, and He will sustain you. Amar Abba Bar Bar Hana Yoma Had Hava Azina Badeahu Taya. Says one day I was traveling with a certain Arab. Hava Darina Tuna. I was carrying a load. Take your load and place it on my camel. So I learned from him that the word Yehavecha is your load, which means take your burden and place it on God, which means Borei Olam will take care of your problems. Do not burden yourself with your troubles. Put your burdens on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He will sustain you. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, the shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah, shel Ya'el Pashut. Ya'el is the mountain goat. Pashut, wild goat. And it has to be straight. I mean, not as opposed to a curved or bent shofar. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah has to be a straight horn. Ya'el Pashut. The Gemara will tell us why. Upiv mitzupe zahav. Its mouth is gold plated. Now we're talking about the shofar that they blew in the Beit HaMikdash. Not the shofar that they blow in the synagogues in Rosh Hashanah, obviously. This is the shofar of the Beit HaMikdash. Now she says, Upiv mitzupe zahav beshel mikdash ka'amar. That's referring to the Beit HaMikdash. Vishte hasotzrot min astadin. And also there were two trumpets that stood on either side of the tokei of the shofar. So you had a hatzotzrot on right and the left, and the tokeh of the shofar in the center. And they learned that from Pisukim. Now they would blow the sounds all together, the hatzotz and the shofar would blow together, but shofar ma'arich, the shofar would be elongated, the sound, the hatzotzot mekatzrot, and the hatzotzot would blow a short sound, which they would end first. Why? Shemitzvat tayom b'shofar. Because the mitzvah today is b'shofar. So we want everybody to know that the ikar today is not hatzotzot. The ikar today is shofar, when it has the longer sound. U'betaniyot, and on the fast days, where they also used to blow the shofar, like it says in Masechet Ta'anit, the Kohen used to blow the shofarot, b'shil zecharin. First of all, they would use the horns of a male goat, kifufin, which are bent, ufien mitzupe chesef, and this time its mouth is plated with silver, ushte hatzotzrot be'emsa, and you would have two hatzotzrot in the middle, which means you'd actually have two shofarot on a tanit. You had two shofarot, one on the right, one on the left, and then two hatzotzrot in the middle. So you had altogether four pieces. Shofar mekatzer v'hatzotzrot ma'arichot. In this case, they would blow them all together, but the shofar would blow the short sound, and the hatzotzrot would blow the long sound. Shemitzvah tayom v'hatzotzrot. Because here the mitzvah of the day is actually in hatzotzrot. Rashi says, v'shtei hatzotzrot be'emsa, shnei shofarot lahen, echad mikan ve'echad mikan. Right, you had two shofarot, one to the right, one to the left. Then be'emsa, and the hatzotzrot were in the middle. Shemitzvah tayom b'hatzotzrot, t'lechinufya be'almanino, which means the purpose of the shofarot on, or the hatzotzrot on the fast is to announce and assemble the people. וכל כנופיה בחסוסרות דכתיב היו לך למקנה העדה. When Moshe Rabbeinu would call the gathering of the people, he would use חסוסרות. So on Taniyot, where the purpose is to gather the people to come and fast and pray, so the Ikar is חסוסרות. Now, שווה היובל לראש השנה. The shofar of Yovel, like we learned earlier, that they used to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, the 50th year, they blow shofar on Yom Kippur. That shofar is similar to the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. In what sense? Litkiah, which means for the tikiah, meaning that she says bifshutim, that you blow a straight shofar. Just like on the Yovel is a straight shofar, Rosh Hashanah also is a straight shofar. Look at Rashi. Bifshutim. דפגד תקיעתו ביובל לא לתפילה ולא לזכרון אלא סימן שלוח עבדים בהשמטת מחילת שדות ודואך תדרוש שנה בעלם מעבד לגמרין ענה לגזרה שבע שביעי שביעי. Which means we know Rosh Hashanah has to be a straight shofar. The Gemara is going to learn straight shofar פשוטים. The Gemara is going to learn why it has to be straight. The reason that we're going to say by Rosh Hashanah really doesn't apply by Yovel. So that she says, doesn't matter. We have to get Zerah Shava. It says by Rosh Hashanah Shivi'i. It says by the Shofar of Yovel Shivi'i. Gizra Shivi'i. Whatever Shofar you use by Rosh Hashanah, that's the Shofar you have to use by Yovel. It's got to be a straight Shofar, straight Shofar. Gizra Shava. V'librachot. And we also make a kesh tawad berachot. We know on Rosh Hashanah we have 9 berachot in Musaf. The regular berachot, of the first three the Amidah, last three the Amidah, and then we have Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So the Hiddush is that Yom Kippur of Yovel, you also would have 9 Berachot in Musaf. Normally on regular Kippur they didn't. But no. Well, yeah, but you went to Shofar, of course. But you'd have the Hiddush that you make Berachot of Musaf, 9 Berachot like you did on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Berosh Hashanah Tok'im Beshel Zecharim. The first thing he comes along and says is that on Rosh Hashanah you blow from Zecharim. Now the Zecharim are actually Kefufim. It's another way of saying on Rosh Hashanah you blow the bent. So number one, he argues on Hakamim Legabe Rosh Hashanah, because Hakamim of HaMishnah say Rosh Hashanah you blow the straight. That's why Gemara gives an example of a Ya'el, because Ya'el is usually a straight one. He says, no, I argue on you on this item. I hold Rosh Hashanah is actually kafuf. It's actually bent. Ubiyoblot b'shel Ya'alim. And the second mahloket, he says that on Yovel, you blow Ya'alim, which is straight. So obviously he doesn't have this Gezira Shava between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. Because here, Rosh Hashanah is bent, and Kippur is straight. The Gemara will explain exactly where He gets his opinion from, but Rashi just tells us the Gezerah Shava lo Gamir. Obviously, you see, does not learn the Gezerah Shava. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi said, Mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom Kippurim bechefufim. That we have a third shita now. The Mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is both kefufim. So it comes out we have three shitot legabe Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Tanakama says everything is straight. Tanakama v'amishnah. Everything is straight. Rosh Hashanah is straight and Kippur is straight. According to the Biyuda v'amishnah, Rosh Hashanah is bent and Kippur is straight. According to Reb Levi, in this Gemara, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both bent. V'shel kol Hashanah b'fshutim. And all year long, meaning on fast days, you do it straight. Okay? Gemara says, what do you mean? V'atenan, we have a Mishnah, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'il Pashut. Hey, Reb Levi, are you on the Mishnah? The Mishnah clearly says that what? The Shofar of Rosh Hashanah is straight. What are you doing? So comes the Gemara and says, "Hu da'amar ki hay tana." Well, he's following a different tana. The tana we have a brayta. Rabbi Yehuda omer, "Berosh Hashanah you tochin b'shil zecharim kefufim." Clearly, on the brayta, Rabbi Yehuda says that they blow the bench shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So you're like, "Obi yoblot b'shil yalim," and on Kippur they blow the straight ones. So therefore, he's following Rabbi Yehuda. Only question is, what did you have to bring Rabbi Yehuda the brayta? What was the matter? Why couldn't you bring the Biyudah of the Mishnah? Yes. Jeez, this is the Biyudah of the Mishnah, by the way. So the Gemara, hey, Reb Levi, you hold the Rosh Hashanah bent. Who are you going like? Hey, we got a Tana. We have a Tana, we found the Braita that has the Biyudah's opinion. What do you mean? What about the Biyudah of the Mishnah? Doesn't the Biyudah of the Mishnah say you blow a bent or blend shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Yeah. What did you have to create a Braita for this Shita when it's in the Brait? Huh? The Mishnah also said biyoblot b'shel ya'alim. That on Yom Kippur you blow a straight.
But he says
kifufin.
He said both.
Both.
He said both
kifufin.
How's he
going to
learn
it? Right? On Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, because it doesn't make the Gezerah Shavah. So you're coming along and asking me a question. Your question was from Rosh Hashanah. Your question was, what do you mean Rosh Hashanah? You're telling me that it's kifufin. What are you talking? We learned that it's straight. So your question's from Rosh Hashanah. So your question's from Rosh Hashanah, so bring me the Mishnah then. What did you create the Ibrahim? The Gemara wasn't trying to support his whole Shitana, so he was asking specifically from Rosh Hashanah. So tonight, just go to the Mishnah. So the Mefashim come along and just say that from the Mishnah you have no proof, because Mishnah you just see his Shita, but in the Braita it says, Hayu Tokrin. Hayu Tokrin is they actually did it. So there's a difference between what you hold, because couldn't you be a hold, but you didn't actually put it into practice. Hayu Tokrin is mashma, they blew it. And then what's a much bigger proof, because we have a principle, Maaseh Rav. And therefore, I'll have a proof for Rabbi Levi, that he says you blow with a bent shofar. I'll prove it to you, because I have a brayta that says the Biyuda, not only is it a shita, but they actually did it. Therefore, it's a bigger proof when you bring it from the brayta, then you bring it from the Mishnah, because it says, Hayu Tokain. That's one answer to that question. Comes the Gemara and says, Velema hilcheta k'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Levi. If you hold it, you blow it a bench shofar. What do you have to say your own cheetah? Just say halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, you go like a tana, right? Just say halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Yamad k'Rabbi Yehuda. Now is what you said. If you're going to say halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, v'amina afilu shel yovel nameh. I would have thought he agrees with him when it comes to yovel as well. And yovel, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says straight, but he holds that yovel is bent. So therefore, I couldn't say like Rabbi Yehuda, because you make a mistake of what I hold by
yovel.
Right? I have a meaning. I feel in the shul yovel. Never Rabbi Yehuda sviralek. No. That when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, I agree. But when it comes to yovel, I argue. Right? He can make the Gezerah Shavah. It's just that he holds it. It's all right. It's all bent. Exactly.
Opposite.
He holds the Gezer Hashem, but not the same result. Not the same result. Now the Gemara says, "Bemai kamipalge." What is the source of the machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? The Gabe Rosh Hashanah. Tanakama says the Rosh Hashanah shofar is straight. Pashut. Rabbi Yehuda says the Rosh Hashanah shofar is kafuf. What's the machlok of it? Well, why does one say straight shofar, bent shofar? What's the logic here? Mor sabar. One rabbi holds. Berosh Hashanah kamad dechayif inish da'ate tefe ma'ale. That on Rosh Hashanah, the more humble or chayif, bent a person is, and according to this language of the Gemara, da'ate, not physically, meaning mentally a person is supposed to be bent, which means not straightened, kafuf. He's supposed to be subjugated. He's supposed to be humbled. So therefore, the shofar, according to the Yehuda, is kafuf, to symbolize the attitude that a person has to have mentally on Rosh Hashanah. Dechayif da'te. Rashi says, kama dechayif inish betfilato. Panav kivushim la'ares tfe adif. Now, according to Rashi, it doesn't sound like he had the word da'te. Rashi sounds like he's learning the guy himself physically should be bent over. Why? Mishum ba'yu aniv lebi sham hilkach berosh shad letfilah laskin akedat Yitzchak ba. He's mentioning akedat Yitzchak. He's coming to pray binding kifufin. So you bend yourself. So the bent shofar represents the position of humility that a person should pray in, mean bending over in the tefillah. So there's a big nafkamina if you have the word date or not date. If you say date, then it's just a mental subjugation. If you don't have the word date, like Rashi, it's actually a physical bending over. V'yoblot. Which means the yovel. What's the purpose? The yovel is to call freedom, and therefore no humility there. Just a straight sound, meaning a straight shofar. That's what the Gemara says. Which is on Yom Kippur, the straighter person is, it's better. Meaning because it's freedom. Freedom. Person stands straight, and he goes there. He's not a slave anymore. Well, what's the purpose of Yom Kippur shofar? To announce the slaves go free. When a slave goes free, what? He's not subjugated anymore. He stands up straight and he walks out. So therefore, first the Yudais, he doesn't hold this Gezerah Shavah, obviously, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Because Rosh Hashanah says bent, and Kippur he says straight. Now you're getting the logic. Rosh Hashanah bent, because the person's supposed to be bent on Rosh Hashanah, either mentally or physically. Whereas Kippur or Yovel, the person stands erect, because he's being freed as a slave. So therefore the shofar represents that concept by having a straight shofar. Now we go to the shita of Hachamim. Umor sabar Berosh Hashanah kamat pashit inish da'ate tefe ma'ale. Hachamim said the exact opposite. On Rosh Hashanah, straight is better. Why? That she says, Mishum nisa lebabenu el kapayim. Which means we are going to raise our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She says, we're going to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how does a person come closer and raise his heart? He stands straight. Hilkach Berosh Hashanah b'fshutim diletfilahu. It's tefilah. Tefilah, you're getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you stand straight. V'yom HaKippurim nameh mishum deshavya b'gezerah shava. Now the Hiddush is on Kippur, even though there's no tefilah on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Yom Kippur of, there's no tefillah of Yom Kippur of Yovel, special tefillah. But what's the logic why you keep it straight? You have a Gezerah Shavah. So that's what Rashi said in the Mishnah. That even though the reason of Rosh Hashanah is not the reason of Yom Kippur, it's the Gezerah Shavah that's going to keep them similar. And therefore Rosh Hashanah is Pashut, Kippur is also going to be Pashut. Gemara concludes, Uptanuyot. But when it comes to a fast day, on a fast day, it's more important that a person is subjugated and he's lowered and humbled. Which means when it comes to ta'aniyot, really the whole purpose of the blowing of the shofar on ta'aniyot is to gather the people. Interesting, that she has a different reason here. The Gemara says over here, ta'aniyot, the reason that you're blowing it, a bent shofar, gotta lower yourself on the ta'anit. Gotta bend yourself. That she's not saying that. That she doesn't have this text, by the way. That she did not have this last line. As you see some of the authorities take out this last line of ta'aniyot, that she, the Bach, for example, that she's shita was like this. You know why ta'aniyot, you're low bent? to make a difference between Taniyot and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. It's not Heker. Because technically on Taniyot, Rosh Hashanah, you can do anything you want. Mm-hmm. It's not it's not for it's not like Rosh Hashanah. It's just the Chinufia. It's just to gather the people. Right. So therefore, you know what? Do something different. So that's what Rashi says. Ubetani the Chinufia lo chpatan tavdina kivuin de lehekera. Good. No, this Gemara doesn't say that. It's coming to give inish datet female. That she's doing it just to heker. According to our Gemara, the Gemara, it's because she's supposed to subjugate yourself more on a tani, totally different reason. So now we figured out the reason of Hakamim, and we figured out the reason of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. What about Rabbi Levi? Right, Rabbi Levi, she tells us everything is. I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Levi, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is kifufin, right? And everything is straight. So that she says, Rabbi Levi, eat the Rabbi Yehuda to the tefillah ba'ayin and kifufin. He holds of Rabbi Yehuda in the sense that what? That for tefillah, you have to have kifufin. And therefore Rosh Hashanah is going to be kifufin. He makes the gezerah shavah, therefore Yom Kippur also is going to be kifufin. Like the rabbis make this, that's right. Hilkak, tarvayu ba'inan kifufin. However, when it comes to taniyot, make a hekir either. According to Rashi, and then we'll do the opposite and make it pashut. So therefore, the Bilevi is in the middle somewhere. He holds like the Gezerah Shavah that you compare Rosh Hashanah to Kippur. However, he holds like the Biuda that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should be bent. Because the tefillah, once it's bent, Rosh Hashanah, we have to make a hekesh, and therefore Kippur is also bent like the rabbis. What about Taniyot? Taniyot will be pashut, either according to the Rashi said, because it will be a hekesh to make a difference. Amen.